Hello, radio friends. Welcome to a Back to the Bible radio broadcast, an outreach ministry of the Hoopers Creek Baptist Church. My name is Pastor Philip Youngblood, and we want to thank you for tuning in today, and we pray that the broadcast is a blessing to you as you listen. This time, the Ellis family is coming around singing Just Look at Jesus, and then we're going to go to a live recording from the Hoopers Creek Baptist Church.
Matthew chapter 27, and we've been looking at the miracles of Calvary, out of Matthew chapter number 27, and tonight we've talked already about the darkness, and we mentioned that there's four miracles. Now, if you start looking these things up, there's going to be people that show different miracles. They've even come up with about six different miracles that were around the cross of Calvary, but most of them, sadly, repeat each other, all right? They bounce off of the main four right here. And so I'm going to look at four, and we're going to deal with the second one tonight. The first one we dealt with was last week, was on the darkness in the day. And we looked at how that one last week, and how that darkness was upon the cross. When Jesus was at the cross, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And there was darkness upon the face of the earth for the period of 3 hours. And then tonight we're going to be looking at the dividing of the veil. We're going to look at the disturbance of the earthquake. And then we're going to look at those graves that were opened up. Amen. Concerning Calvary. Look at verse number 33, if you will, with me. And we'll try to read down to verse number 53. The Bible says in verse 33 of chapter 27 of the book of Matthew, and when they had come to the place called Golgotha, this is to say, a place of the skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there and set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." And then there were two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." And likewise also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and elders. He saved others, himself he cannot save. He is the King of the of Israel. Let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, "I am the Son of God." The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. And now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the night. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Some of them that stood there, when they heard that said, "This man calleth for Elias." And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. And the rest said, "Let us see whether Elias will come and save it." And Jesus, when he cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to the bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks rent. I'd like to begin tonight by addressing the question concerning the veil of the temple. Some may ask this question: what was the veil? What is this veil that we're talking about, and why is it so important? Well, the veil was made of cloth, not just any type of cloth, but it was by no means an old rag, amen. When it comes to that veil of the temple, it was no rag, friend. It was just not a curtain. It was a specific veil that was mentioned within the Word of God in Exodus chapter number 26. The Bible said this: "And thou shalt make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen of cunning work. With cherubims shall it be made. And thou shalt hang it upon four pillars of shittim wood overlaid with gold. Their hooks shall be of gold, upon the four sockets of silver. And thou shalt hang up the veil under the tatches. Thou mayest bring it in thither within the veil, the ark of the testimony. And the veil shall divide unto you between the holy place and the most holy place. And thou shalt put the mercy seat upon the ark of the testimony in the holy place." Let's look first of all tonight about this veil. When looking at it, I want you to understand this, that there seems to be a problem. You say, "What's the problem, preacher?" Well, according to the scriptures, before entering into the place called the Holy of Holies, there was a place where you would be confronted with a wall of separation. You say, what does that have to do with anything, preacher?" Well, someone to have and to go into the very presence of God himself, to have fellowship with God, you would have to go beyond the veil. You'd have to go beyond the veil to see the very throne of God. But I will tell you something, they could not go beyond that veil. Why? Because there was a wall of separation. Now, understanding this veil, not even, look, when it comes to who could go in, not even the common high priest were allowed to enter into this place called the Holy of Holies. No, if they were to go in behind that veil, it would mean certain death. So what I'm saying tonight is this, that everyday common priest that worked in the temple, there was a place where he could not go. There was a place he could go, amen, and there was a place he could not go. I'm telling you, there was a place that he could go all the way up. I mean, he could go by the table of showbread. He could go by the candlestick. He could go by the incense altar. But I want to tell you something. When he got to the veil that separated him between the Holy of Holies, he could not go any farther. That's the only place he could not go. Now, I think about this separation. So before we can enter into the holy place, the veil must be taken care of. There's a problem. The problem is something is standing in the way. Something's standing there between us and God. It was a wall of not just separation, but it was also a wall of protection. This wall that was there, this wall of separation, if that priest went inside that veil, I'm going to tell you something, he'd die dead as a doornail, amen. And if you and I was to try to go before God Almighty and the holiness of God without first going through the blood of Calvary, can I tell you, in the very presence of God, we'd die dead as a doornail because God cannot stand sin. That's how holy that he is. We would die of the sheer fact that we're in the presence of holy God, amen. And God is to be revered. I tell you what we're losing in our day. Man wants to walk up and man wants to act any old way he wants to act. And then he wants to show up before God and be holy and be spotless and blameless. And boy, God, have great feelings. It don't work that way, friend. It don't work that way. Oh, there must be a sacrifice. Because behind that veil is the throne of judgment. For the holy God shines above that throne. And the ark itself is that which condemns the sinner before God. I want you to think about this. What's in that ark? Well, inside that ark of the covenant, inside, I'm talking about beyond that veil, inside that place was the ark of the covenant. Inside the ark of the covenant, there was three things there. You say, what was the three things, preacher? Well, inside the ark of the covenant was the Ten Commandments, even the two tablets to which God had gave Moses on the mountain. Those Ten Commandments was a reminder consistently all the time of our sin, amen, and the fact that we can never match up to what God has asked us to do. So there we stand, amen, guilty before God. Then there was Aaron's rod that budded, and there was a pot of manna that was placed there inside the Ark of the Covenant. I want to say this. Well, has there ever been a time when someone could go into the Holy of Holies? M.R. Dehan said this, only once a year. What is called on the Day of Atonement. The high priest was permitted to enter, but it had to be repeated, and it had to be repeated, and it had to be repeated, for it was never, never, never accomplished and finished and done. Every single year, there was a requirement of the blood. Every single year, there had to be an atonement paid. That place, that room of holiness, that place where the cherubim dwelt. That place, I mean, I'm talking about things that was absolutely awesome. You talk about a place where you had the Shekinah glory of God. Amen. That fire by night and that cloud by day. You're talking about a place that everybody ought to want to be. We ought to want to be behind that veil. Amen. Well, you know there's something about the priest. He must have been sitting back in that holy place. And he said, oh, I tell you one thing. There's just one thing about it. I just wish I could just get in a little closer. But I can't because I got something standing in the way. A wall that's separating. But then the Word of God, listen, what about this? What did the veil represent? I want you to take your Bible now and go over to Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter 10, if you will. I promise you this is leading somewhere. Boy, all of these things, all these dots connect. Hebrews chapter number 10 in your Bible. The veil which barred the way of God. The Bible answers the question very clearly in verse number 19. The Bible says, and having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, watch this, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God. Friends, we are privileged tonight to have the great interpreter of the Word of God. This Bible's here with us tonight. It just told us that what this veil represents is the flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you for tuning in to another Back to the Bible radio broadcast. We would like to invite you to come out and be a part of our church. We are located at 71 Hoopers Creek Church Road. That's in Fletcher, North Carolina, 28732. If you'd like to write us, our mailing address is P.O. Box 1856, Fletcher, North Carolina 28732. Also, check us out on the World Wide Web at HooperscreekBaptist.com or download our church app where you can get the verse of the day and enjoy some great preaching and singing from our choir. Have a great day. Tune in tomorrow for another Back to the Bible radio broadcast.